Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Tales from the Doghouse, Separation Anxiety Explained. I am Stacey Bell with Focused Fun in the U.S., and with me today are the two lovely ladies, Ness and Sarah. You go, Ness.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm Ness Jones. I am an Australian from Separation Anxiety and Dakotas. And look who we've got here today.
Woo!
She's back.
Here I am. Back again. It's so glad. It's so nice to see the three of us back together in our usual haphazard fashion. So here I am, Sarah McLaren from the UK, from Separation Anxiety Solutions. And there's a reason I've not been here for a few weeks, isn't there, ladies?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is.
I have had what we might call a major life change. For those of you that have been listening for quite a while, you won't have seen this, but I think if you've been watching the YouTube videos, you will have seen one with me in it. And this background wasn't here. So we've had a major life change, as in we have moved from a three-bedroomed house to a narrow boat. So we now live on a 70-foot boat.
That's incredible.
What
I am so excited for you guys. You've done a lot of work to get there.
Yes. Yes, downsizing has been interesting. So thought for you guys that it might be nice for you to hear about this. Number one, because I've moved on to a boat, which is incredibly different, particularly for the dogs. Number two, it's been a massive downsize, and we know that a lot of people are downsizing at the minute because of the way that the economy is working in a lot of countries at the minute, and you know, people are trying to save money. And of course, the other thing is just the major life change, as in moving house is a major life change, particularly for your dogs. So I have two dogs. We have Ernie, who is Mr. Separation Anxiety Poodle Extraordinaire, who is also hyper-attached. And while we've been moving, he's found it extraordinarily difficult and has become even more attached again. So even though we'd managed to get to a point where we could leave him with other people, he's been very, very clingy for the last couple of weeks. And at the moment, I only have to step a foot away before he's going, "Mom, mom, 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 mom." And our other girly Molly isn't worried about me leaving her, but she's also never lived on a boat before, so we are making sure that we take things easy with her as well. So tonight is about the story of moving and what we did to help them both. Even though she doesn't have separation anxiety, it's still important that we don't trigger it by a big move and leaving her on her own too early. Right. So, ladies, where do you want me to start?
Well, at the beginning.
Can we start with what made y'all decide to move on a houseboat? I mean, I know that's not related to separation anxiety, but that is very interesting.
Well, it is a bit of a downsizing exercise. Plus, we've been renting our home for quite some time now, and the houseboat option was a way that we could actually buy our own home, which means that we can do all the things that people do in their own homes, which is stick holes in walls and rip things up and paint things funky colors and do all the things that you can't do in a rental property because they don't like it. My husband and I, as you may have noticed if you're watching on YouTube, if you're not watching on YouTube, you won't know that I'm not 20. We're not getting any younger, and we wanted to have a bit of adventure before we shuffle off this mortal coil. So we bought a boat. A boat.
That's crazy.
It's very exciting. It is very exciting, and it's lovely. And I've seen birds and ducks and things and fish and all sorts already, and we've only been on it a few days.
So
it's a lovely place to be.
Before you moved, can you tell us what your environment was like in terms of, you know, were you in a city environment or were you semi-suburban or rural? Like, what kind of, you know, did your dogs, are your dogs like gone from a city to almost a rural in a sense, like in terms of the noises that they're experiencing and the, you know, all those sort of things?
So we went from a rural property. So the place that we lived was in the middle of a hamlet, which, for if you don't know, a hamlet is a village that's too small for a church. It's so small that there's basically nothing there other than houses. So we went from a very small hamlet out in the countryside. So the majority of sound came from wildlife or tractors. Or because we were out in the countryside in a nice place, lorries going up and down because they do a lot of filming in the area. So there's always lots of HGVs. But very few people, very few dogs, nothing like that. Where we are now, because we are at the side of we're on the canal, and the canal is a network that goes throughout the country that links cities all across the UK. It does mean that we get joggers, we get cyclists, we get people with dogs, we get other boats going up and down. We've got lots of wildlife, lots of birds, swans that like to come up to your boat and then hiss at you because you're in their space, which I found quite rude. so there's a lot more stuff, and they actually seem to be coping remarkably well with more stuff rather than less, I think, because there's so much of it, it's no longer a surprise. So it does mean that we can work on them seeing cyclists and joggers and things and do quite a lot of work around that, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
So that's where we are now. A bit really different.
Change.
So what next?
What's that?
What was your next question?
So maybe, I know you said Ernie's hyper-attached, but just in case people aren't aware what that is, maybe you could explain that and what the difference is before and after sort of thing from moving.
I'd say if you're not watching this, please go watch the YouTube video, because then you'll see the extraordinarily clear picture of Ness and a very large Malinois.
Just literally, <Hello. laughs> he's like, what?
Who's that? So, he's upside down at the minute. So for those of you that haven't heard us before, hyper-attachment is where the dog doesn't just have separation anxiety, but has anxiety around being separated from a particular person or persons. Some dogs can have it around multiple people, which does mean that unlike some dogs with general separation anxiety that just don't want to be alone, they don't care who they are with. Ernie very much cares who he's with. It's a very big thing to teach him how to be alone. Well, not alone, but how to be with somebody other than me. And that is something that we've been working on for a long time with him. And I do have friends that he's perfectly happy with. And he was okay with my husband. But since we've moved onto the boat, he's now got to a point where he's like, no, I need you. So because things have been very, very difficult for him. So this is what happens when we move house. We think that everything's done because we've moved in now. You know, we're all sort of like, we're in, we're done. But for him, we're not done. For him, it's massive. And it's a real big deal. He doesn't know quite where he is. He's not entirely settled in as he was before. And, you know, he doesn't want to be left on his own. So even though we're only on a boat and you can see from one end of it to the other, if I go from one end of it to the other, he's right behind me. And if I go out of the door, even though he can see me, if I go out of the door, he still stands on the other side of the gate and cries because I've left him. So for a little while, we're going to have to really make sure that he feels secure with me first before we do any kind of leaving him.
Right.
And when we do start to leave him, we're going to start by doing very, very, very short absences. So we're going to work around the desensitization of the door, but my husband will still be here. Because for Ernie, that won't make any difference. So whether Danny's here or not, Ernie won't care less, so I can still do all the exercises with Danny on the boat, and he won't care.
Yeah.
Got Molly, of course, who doesn't have separation anxiety, but again, a house move is a big thing.
Yeah.
She did cope with it remarkably well, although we did make sure that we have medication in place for both of them for the actual day that we moved onto the boat, because not only have they moved onto a boat, but a boat has an engine and a boat moves. So it's not just moving house, it's also okay. moving house to something that is noisy.
Yeah. So I moved in November and two dogs, robust, the other one very noise sensitive, and he didn't cope at all. But the other two, I didn't have on medication, but it still didn't, it wasn't a quick process just for them to get used to the new environment and stuff. Like, I mean, they're not people, you can't say, hey, on such and such a date, we're moving to this new place, is this going to be your new home? You can't explain that to them. Yeah. And it must have been doubly hard for you because you've got a boat and all those things going by, like you said, and the boat moves and
So I spoke to my vet probably nearly 2 months ago about all this and said that we would like to have medication in place for when we do it. So we made sure that we'd got everything ordered. We had it all at home. It was all ready. We've trialed it beforehand, so we know it works with her. So that when we did actually do the move, we were very, very slick. We knew what time we were going. We knew what to give her the night before, what to give her the morning. And everything went really, really, I mean, it went without a hitch, which is exactly what you want. You know, it's the saying, isn't it? Fail to prepare to fail.
Mm-hmm.
It's yes. that one. So we were prepared. We made sure that we had all this medication in place. And the same for Ernie, because along with a lot of dogs with separation anxiety, they also can be noise sensitive, and the boat is, you know, it's loud. When it's going along, all the cups and the cutlery is all rattling away. And it's all very, you know, there's a lot of noise that goes on. So we made sure that we had everything in place to make sure that the transition was as smooth as possible. Because Molly's not a young dog either. She's 9, so she's not exactly a baby. So it is a big thing for her.
Yeah. Who's the skipper, Sarah?
Mm.
Dan, at the minute. Not to say that I won't give it a go at some point. I'll probably crash, but I'll give it a go.
What's that make you, the deckhand?
first mate.
First mate, okay.
That would be me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Nice. I was going to say another thing that I think makes downsizing or moving on to a boat in your situation, or even like something like van life, or is that downsizing process. So even before you were packing things up into boxes to take with you, you were going through stuff to see what are you going to take with you and what are you going to try to sell or get rid of or whatever. So for some dogs, even that process is upsetting, or at least throws them off a little bit too. So I think going through just some tips for when you're moving for, you know, dogs in general, but, you know, situations like this where it's yes, you're moving, but it's also a huge routine change, I think might be helpful for people as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were very aware of the fact that as furniture kept moving out, it did become quite difficult for them. And again, particularly Ernie is the most sensitive of the two. Molly, not so much. As long as Molly's got her bed, and she knows where her bed is, which was another thing that we did for her. When we came to the boat, we put the bed in place first before we brought her on. And as soon as she came on and she knew where the bed was, she was like, yep, it's mine. We're good.
Yeah, good.
So that is one thing that you know, if you're moving, make sure that you've got something in place so that when they get there, they recognise it as something that was theirs from somewhere else, because they do work visually. I know that a lot of the way that they work is olfactory, is scent, but they are visual in respect of things like furniture. When everything moves, it does become quite difficult for them because they expect everything to stay in the same place. So when we were moving, particularly towards the sort of like 2 weeks before, when we were really getting rid of lots and lots of furniture, that did become quite difficult. So we did do an awful lot of, there was an awful lot of food being thrown around at home. There was a lot of food being thrown around in the garden and things to chew on. There was a lot of chews consumed and a lot of scattering of things in the grass. So we did a lot for that and tried to make sure that we could offset it as much as possible. But obviously there's only so much you can do, but you do need to be aware of, yeah, you're right. You need to be aware of the fact that that does have an effect on them, that they're not oblivious to it. The same as we're not, you know, getting rid of stuff is difficult, isn't it? Particularly if you've had things for a while. Mm-hmm. And downsizing is not easy, and it does take an emotional and physical toll on you and on them.
Mm-hmm. So the day of... Go ahead, Ness.
No, I was just going to say, so moving is quite a stressful thing for us. Do you think they picked up on that in you guys as well?
Oh, definitely, because, I mean, you know... I can freely admit to being perhaps a little testy, or as you would say in America, Stacey, a tad fussy every now and then, maybe, just a bit.
I don't believe it.
there's been quite a lot of sniping going on between me and Danny, and we've had to spend some time, you know, making sure that we don't kill each other, because that was one of the things. Are we going to get on the boat in one piece and still married? Never mind anything else. So of course that kind of thing upsets the dogs, and I think I did have one day where I had what I would term a bit of a meltdown, where I had so much, I was surrounded by so much stuff, I just didn't know where to start or what to do with it, and I sat on the bed in my bedroom and cried my little heart out, which of course for the dogs is like, what is going on, what's all this? And Ernie, being a lovely little poodle that he is, came and gave me lots of cuddles, which helped massively. Molly just went to bed, because that's what Molly does. Molly's like, no, that's fine. I'm going to bed. I know where my bed is. I shall go lay on my bed. That's fine. So yes, we have all that. And I think, you know, that is something that we've spoken about in our episodes previously, where we've spoken about stress and the way that our stress can affect our dogs. And yes, definitely. And one of the things that I tried to do throughout the process was make sure that Danny and I also could take some time. But the pressure to, you know, because we have a deadline for moving home, the pressure gets to a point where you can't take time off anymore and you just have to keep going. And that, you know, that, again, I think it does have an effect on them, yeah, for sure.
So you have to kind of modulate that if you can, but of course it's not that easy.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Stacey?
So on the day of the move, was there a lot of final stuff to do? Because I think, you know, it seems like some of your approach was a bit gradual because you were getting rid of things and boxing things and stuff like that. But then on the day of the move, when you're moving on to the boat, did you have to move like a lot of boxes and stuff, or was that mostly done by then?
No, there was a fair bit that was last minute, as there is, unless you're like super organized, which I freely admit I am not. So yes, so there was a lot of last minute. So what we did on the last day was we moved Molly the day before onto the boat. So we brought her over very early morning the day before. And then I spent the day still at the house sorting things out. Danny spent the day on the boat, making sure the boat was in a place that was accessible for us. Ernie stayed with me. And then the actual day that we moved out, I spent the morning at the house sorting things out. And then I brought Ernie over to the boat. And then me, Ernie and Molly spent the afternoon on the boat while Danny did the very last minute things, as in handing the keys back and just making sure everything was over and done with. And then he came over to the boat, and there we go. Happy families all together, yay, forever.
Yay.
So especially for
the hyper-attached dogs, it's kind of trying to balance that. Should the dog stay with you as you do all that finalization? Is that a word?
Yeah.
Finalization? It just sounded so weird to me just now. Anyways, as you finalize everything, should the dog stay with you so they they're in their kind of most comfortable position, but then does all the hustle and bustle throw them, or is it better for them to stay with a trusted person, a friend or family or whatever? So that can be tricky with the hyper-attached ones. With the non-hyper-attached ones, sometimes that's a good way to help them skip the hustle and bustle, is to send them off to a friend or family.
Yeah. I mean, given the choice, I mean, I have got a really good friend who lives in the area who Ernie is fine with. He loves going to her house because she's got a dog that he plays with. And had we been able to, Ernie would have probably have gone there for that final day, but she was on holiday. It's like, no. So we have been there this afternoon though. So he's been to play with his friend for several hours this afternoon. So he's had a nice decompress and he's had a whale of a time playing. And he's unconscious down here, not that you can see him.
Nice.
But I think in the past when we've moved with any dog, we've tried if we can to make sure that they are out of the way during the actual physical move. So when we moved from our previous house into the one before this one, I basically took them out for several hours and went off somewhere else. And then once the old house was empty, I stayed in that house for a couple of hours until Danny phoned me to say that all the furniture was in the new house. And then we took the dogs over. So they weren't there for any of the moving out or any of the moving in. But yeah, it's not always possible to do that, particularly if you've got a lot of distance or something. But if you you can keep them out of the way, I would definitely do that. I think it's much easier for them.
Mm. Well, and a little bit you too. That way you can kind of focus on the work of it. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's good. I also like how you're giving, especially Ernie, but both of them, time to settle in.
Mm.
I think that's super important because, you know, we do talk about how changes in routine or changes in environment can make a big difference to dogs. Especially because you can't explain what's going on. I mean, for all they know, you could be on vacation. Like, they don't know that your new permanent home. And we certainly would recommend in general for people to do home alone training while they're on vacation, unless it's someplace that they go regularly. So I do think it's really important to give the dogs time to settle in and realize, hey, this is the new home. And it's interesting in your kind of new situation, you know, one of the things that I think can be comforting to some dogs is to try to keep at least the big important parts of their routine the same when you move. Is that something that you're able to do in this situation or no?
Not at all. So that's again been one of the things that's been difficult, particularly with the way that we've moved, because where we lived before, we had quite a lot of land that they could run around on, so we didn't have to do much off lead stuff. We didn't have to do much on lead stuff. And one of the things that Ernie has found slightly difficult since we've moved on to the boat is he's had to go back on lead for a short amount of time because his recall has just gone right out of the window, because there's been a couple of occasions when we have been on the boat and off the boat and been doing things that we've gone for a walk and he's gone to look for Danny. When Danny's not been here, Danny's been over at the house and he's disappeared through hedges and things, and I've been like, oh, and Ernie never goes anywhere. So for him to disappear has been like, ah! So he's gone back on lead and we've been working on his recall since we've moved. But the routine has completely changed because we're on the towpath. So when they go out, they have to go out on lead to go to the toilet and come back in again. So we have to physically take them out to go to the toilet, which we haven't had to do for such a long time. Because they can just go in, you know, for bedtime toileting in particular, they could, you know, they could just go out in the garden, go for a wee and then come back in and everybody goes to bed. Whereas now we've got to physically do it the same on a morning, which can be slightly more
challenging,
problematic.
Yeah. If it's getting down rain and freezing cold. Oh God.
Yeah. 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 That's, and of course it's always raining and freezing cold here because it's England.
As we know. Of course.
Oh my God.
As we know.
So the whole routine has changed. I think the only thing that's the same is Molly's got the same bed. Ernie's happy because he's got a sofa he can sleep on. And they get fed at the same time.
Doesn't Ernie have a throne where he can look out the window?
Hey, look. Those of you who are listening are missing out on all this stuff. So this is, oh, look, it's made the film camera change, the lights change. This is his current blanket.
Lovely.
So it's a multicoloured Sherpa fleece. For those of you that can't see it, it's like quite jazzy and bright.
It's psychedelic. I'm going with psychedelic.
Is that the word we're looking for? Yeah. I don't know. And he likes it. It's nice and warm. it's a complete change. So they do have, I figure it's enough for them just to get used to being alive for the first week. Never mind me, going off disco dancing on a Saturday night or whatever, you know, we just get used to them just going in and out and doing normal stuff.
So what will be your first step when you start your separation training?
The first steps will be with Molly, which will be leaving her on the boat for, 5 or 10 minutes, seeing what she's like, because, of course, the joys of a boat is you can hear her when you're on the outside of it. So we have got the Wi-Fi cameras. We just haven't got them set up yet. So that's another thing that we'll do is we'll set up the camera so that we can see. And we'll just do some short departures off the boat. Historically, she's never been concerned with being left. The only thing that might be an issue with her is if there's a lot of noise. So we can leave a radio on for her, which will drown out the background noise. And fingers crossed, she should transition quite well. We do still have the medication that we got for the initial move. And what we can do is use that for the first few departures just to make sure that she's nice and not that she would be sedated, but the medication that we've got is very, very short acting. So it only lasts for a couple of hours. But it does mean that it will make her less reactive to sound and less worried about sound. If any boats go past or anything while we're not here, then she should be okay with it.
Mm-hmm. So what are Molly's biggest struggles? The sound stuff? And I thought she had some stranger anxiety. Does she? Or am I making that up?
It's stranger danger and other dogs. So when you get... She doesn't seem to worry about cyclists because they go past pretty quick. Joggers can make her particularly excited. If you're outside with her at the time, she gets quite excited by joggers. So we can work. I mean, that is the joys of the type of boat that we've got. Is it does have a very large back end, so we can get her back on it again very quickly. So when we see a jogger, it's basically all hail back to the boat. And work on desensitizing her with that by making sure that she gets lots of food as the jogger goes past, and then we can get her back off the boat again and carry on doing what we're doing. So that is one thing that we can work on. And the same with the dog thing, we can get her back on the boat so she's safe and out of the way and then get her back off again. So we'll just keep working on that. And as we go along, she'll just get better at it.
Right. Nice.
But other than that, she's pretty solid. I mean, she spent a lot of years getting in lots of very loud vehicles that I've had over the years, including a Land Rover that used to backfire. And she never even flinched as we were banging away down the motorway. Never bothered her. It's people more than anything.
So I think I saw a picture you had of Ernie on his throne looking out the window. Is Molly able to see out the window as well, or does she just like, she's just on her bed, so she's not looking out the window?
Yeah, no, she doesn't look out the windows. I think if she did, that really would, like, she'd be just shouting at everything, because there's a, like I say, the joys of the canal network, particularly where we are now, there are a lot of people. There's a boatyard on the other side of the canal that go out and take people out on day trips. So there's lots of little old people all queuing up waiting to get on a boat several times a day. And they seem to wash them a lot as well. They're always washing boats, not old people, but there's a lot of action over there. But if she could see out of the windows, I think that would be a problem, but she can't. Whereas for him, he gets more, he's more likely to bark if he can hear something but not see it. So when he can sit on his lawn and look out of the window, he's a very happy little bunny watching the world go by.
Nice, nice.
Is there any danger they're going to jump in the water or fall in the water or anything?
There's always a danger of falling in. They do have life jackets. So if they do fall in, we can dig them out, because even though Ernie is a water dog, you know, that's what poodles were bred for, retrieving from water. He doesn't like it. He won't even go in a puddle. He's terrible. Molly, on the other hand, not so, she quite likes water. She likes to splash around if we go to the beach and things. So she's not too bad. But the again, the joy of these boats is they can get very, very close to the bank. And when they're there, you're less likely to fall in. I think the biggest problems are when I've known other people's dogs fall in when they've been going through a lock with a boat. So if you don't know what a lock is, it's for the canal network to go across country, it has to go over hills. And you can't make water run upwards. So what they do is they use these locks where you can pump water in to lift the boat to make it go on to the next level of canal that they built. Oh, so cool. You go through this. So when you go through a lock, there's a lot of turbulence and a lot of movement, and you're in a very small space. And I have known other boaters where the dogs have got out of the back door and fallen off because there's been a lot of movement or something. So we'll be very careful to make sure that the doors are closed. So when we go through locks, Molly will be inside and Ernie will be actually on the bank with me. So I'll do the mechanism on the bank and Danny will be in the boat and Molly will be in her bedroom on the boat. So we should mitigate the chances of falling in. And when we're moving, they do seem to realise that we're moving. And they're not that gung-ho that either of them would just go, woohoo, and jump in, you know. That's just that. Nice. I would imagine that I might fall in, or maybe Danny, but they should be all right.
Mine wouldn't quite because they've done jetty jumping and they love it. And
yeah, you'd also be off.
They'd be like,
yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, I think you could see that with some types. I mean, I saw a couple today and they had a young Vizsler on their boat, and I thought I could just imagine that one jumping it. But yeah, these two are not going to. Ernie, definitely not. And Molly's just, she's a bit too sensible. So she's a mix between a Labrador and a Boxer. And she seems to have that, she's got a very sensible Labrador side to go to pair off against the idiotic Boxer that's in there. So she's a very serious girl.
So you talked about what you're going to do with Molly. What are you going to do with Ernie to start the process of being home alone? Or...
With Ernie, what we're planning on doing is we're going to start with the dog desensitization, but also what we're planning on doing is a video diary of the process.
Uh-huh.
So that for those of you that want to know what it looks like, we're going to set up a video. We're going to capture it all on video so that you can actually watch it and watch the trials and tribulations of training separation anxiety with small dogs. Regardless of whether it's a house or a boat or a caravan, the process is pretty much the same. And because it's a boat, because it's a boat as well, it's so much smaller. So we don't have as big an area to capture on film. So it should make it a little bit easier to see how it works and see, you know, because he's closer to the door, it means that I'm going to have to work on it that bit harder to make sure that he can't get out of the door in front of me or that he doesn't worry about it.
How many points have you got? Like, I mean, will you be using just one particular door to do the training or have you got others?
We've got two exit points. When we're going out for a walk, we mainly use the back. So the chances are what I'll probably do to work on the separation anxiety with him is use the front, because the front is used to sit on when we are cruising. So when we're going along the canal, we sit on the front and watch the world go by. But he hasn't used it for a while to get on and off the boat with. It's more the back of the boat that we used to get on and off. So what we'll do is we'll work on the front, because it's a slightly easier door for me to work on, because the back door involves a hatch and some very steep steps, and I'm only little, so I can only go up and down the steps so many times before I'm like, no more.
So where are you going to publish your video diary of separation anxiety training on a houseboat with Ernie?
Well, where else? I mean, YouTube is the place to be.
Nice.
So we will probably get a few exercises in hand first. So they're not going to be live. These are not going to be live videos because, to be honest, I think live probably could get quite tedious. So what the more likely to be is a weekly diarize video blog of what we've done over that week. And we'll keep the points in that are pertinent, and it will be published once a week or on YouTube. And basically I'll try and keep it as much warts and all as possible, because as we know, as trainers for separation anxiety, it's not all plain sailing. See what I did there?
Yes, I love it.
And there are a lot of ups and downs, and if it goes all plain sailing and it's smooth, then I'll be more shocked than anybody, I think.
I
think it might be nice for people to actually see what it looks like, what's involved, what you need to think about, the things that you need to think about, you know, as you've been out before you start doing any training. Is he mentally satiated, you know, has he done any enrichment type activities? Has he had food? Has he been out? Is he nice and relaxed? Are we in a good place to train? Is he feeling well? Am I feeling well? Is it hammering it down? Is there a thunderstorm? You know, all the things that go around it all, just to make sure that people can see what that actually looks like in real life.
That's awesome.
I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. That'll be exciting. Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be exciting watching me going in and out of a door. Well, I might have to remember.
I think I'm just geeky enough to think that is exciting.
But I will, of course, have to remember to get dressed and make sure that I'm half decent, because nobody wants to see me trotting in and out in my pajamas.
Well,
really,
that might be a deal breaker for me. I like my pajamas. I do. I think I would encourage my viewers to embrace my pajamas. You can do it.
You've got big fluffy slippers.
I don't. And I usually like sleep in like lightweight sweatpants and a big shirt. So it's not, my sleepwear is very, you know, frumpy. Not sexy. I'm not going for the sexy sleepwear.
No niggly giggles then.
Yep. Okay, so to review, if preparing for a big move, testing out meds well ahead of time is good. Making sure you talk with your vet, test it out, make sure it is a good fit for your dog. If packing and unpacking in the move itself is going to be a big deal, and if your sitters are available, sometimes a sitter is a good option to get your dog away from the stress and to relieve a little bit of stress for yourself. Taking a break from training on both sides, you know, as you're starting to pack things up, your dog can become unsettled and it's probably not ideal to do the training then, and then giving them time to settle into the new place. Sarah, you mentioned some really good ones, making sure some of their things are there, some of the things that they're used to, like Molly's bed and Ernie's fleece. If it's possible, keeping some elements from their routine can be helpful. Another thing that you kind of touched on tangentially is building the skills they might need ahead of time. So if you know that walking on the leash is going to be something that you need to do a lot of and you haven't been doing that, then giving them some of those skills before the move is a good choice. What else am I missing? Oh, when you do start, you know, giving them time to sell, but when you do start, start with easy wins. Like Sarah said, doors of war is a good approach. And then taking things gradually from there. What did I miss?
I don't think you missed anything, did you?
Woo! I was trying to take notes as we were talking so I could summarize super efficiently.
Yeah, I think, again, with the, remember the background noise, so sometimes, I've got a couple of clients who've just moved house as well, and they've gone from an apartment to a house with big windows, so windows that go right down to the floor, so their dog can now see out, whereas before he couldn't. So what they did before they moved in was put the window frosting across the bottom of all the windows to make sure that when he moved into that house that he couldn't start reacting to things that he'd not seen before. Mm-hmm. The other thing that they also did was they've got two exit doors to their property. So from the day that they moved in, they've only taken the dog out of one exit door, and they are going to use the other exit door to work on the separation anxiety. So they will go out of one door and the dog will only ever go out of another, so that he has no prior, not knowledge, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, he's got no saliency around the front door at all. It means nothing to him. So when they do go out, he doesn't even look up. He's not bothered at all when they go out the front door.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I do really like your point about the sounds and the visuals, because, you know, even if they're moving from a quiet place to a noisy place or vice versa, the sounds are just different. And so sounds that are just unfamiliar can start to have a dog feel anxious or to alert to them or be sensitive to them in some way. So making sure that you're kind of tackling that right away and trying to help them form positive emotional responses to those, or at least neutral, is a really good idea. Yeah, that's a big one with the move.
Well, yeah. I'll be really interested to hear about your voyage, Sarah. Voyage, did you see what I did there? Where's the next stop? Where are you heading to?
We're not very far. I mean, the top speed of the boat, so when you open it up, it goes at 4 miles an hour. So people jog past us, so we don't go very fast at all. And if you go past other boats, you're supposed to go past on what they call tickover, and I think that's maybe 2 miles an hour.
All right.
So wherever we go, we're not getting there quick, that's for sure. But we are heading north. So we're going to head north as we go along. So at the minute, we're in the south of England, and we're going to try and get as far as West Yorkshire. So we're going to go.
Is that north, as high as you can go?
Pretty much, yeah, because we've got quite a big boat. When you get up to Yorkshire, there's a lot of the canals that we can't go on because of the locks. Again, these locks are not long enough.
Yeah.
So we can't fit up there in a lot of them, but we can do a fair bit of the country. We can do something like 96% of the network, and there is 2,000 miles of network.
Wow.
So we can do a fair bit.
Yeah. It's
awesome. That's exciting. I'm so excited. I'll keep us occupied. For y'all. Yeah, well.
You'll get different scenery. Maybe at some point I'll be able to have the curtain open and you can see the scenery.
You'll have to send us a picture of the outside of the boat so we can link to it in the show notes somehow.
Okay. I should do
or
that.
Or at least post it on Facebook or something.
Yes, and the friendly swans. I'll send you a picture of the friendly swans. She was a very nice swan. She had 9 children and she brought them all over to the boat and then proceeded to hiss at me.
You'll win them over.
I have food. I've got a secret weapon now. I've got swan food.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, very good. I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad to be back. It's nice to be back amongst my brethren again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
You've been listening to Tales from the Doghouse. Thanks for joining us. Please make sure you check us out on YouTube and subscribe and like us there. This is Stacey Bell with Focused Fun.
I'm Ness Jones. I am in Australia, and I'm from Separation Anxiety in Dogs Decoded.
And I guess I'm finishing off then.
Yes,
I'm
you are.
Sarah McLaren from, well, I'm from the UK, from somewhere on a boat in the UK, from Separation Anxiety Solutions.
See you.
What?
I said see you.
Bye.
I'll see you. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.